To continue, let me repeat the last sentence I made, which is very important. That is, in the Bible, including the verses we read at the beginning of this fellowship, the vine typifies the sacrifice in Christ. There's such a Christ in us. There's such a Christ that we must know, the sacrifice in Christ. Multiple words or scriptures points to this fact that Christ is the one who gave himself as an offering and a sacrifice on our behalf to God. The Christ who sacrificed everything of himself. I mean, did Christ do anything to deserve that? Did the Lord Jesus ever even sin? He knew no sin. I mean, if anyone that needs to die and suffer the pain of and the punishment of death, that should be the sinner. That should be us, not him. But somehow, God in Christ suffered everything of himself, willingly. Just go read Philippians chapter 2. The one who was in every way equal with God became a man, took on the form of a slave, and died that most horrible form of execution in Roman times. That is the death of the cross. Where actually, by the way, you don't die if you're on that cross. From the nails, per se, from bleeding, per se. But you hang there, you die of your own weight on that cross, because there's nothing to hold you up but those nails on that cross. Christ actually died that way and sacrificed everything of himself. Blood came out, even water. I mean, I once read a little analysis by a physician, kind of a post-mortem analysis, I don't know, why water would gush out from his side. That has to do with his heart. That water and blood would be separated and ooze out of his pierced side for us, our redemption, and also our regeneration. Out of his sacrifice, he produced new wine to cheer God and man on the cross. When he died this way, not only is wine coming out of him to cheer us, the sinners, but there's also wine to cheer God, because he was not only made a sacrifice for us, but he was made an offering to God on the cross. You know, the cross is actually typified by the brazen altar, by the bronze altar, by the altar of the burnt offering. Everything that is put on that altar is all for God to consume, for God to enjoy, for God to be satisfied. So in one act, Christ cheered God and he cheered man. Christ is the wine producer. This is the ministry's word. He's a wine producing Christ. sacrificing himself to produce wine to cheer God and others. As the vine, Christ produces happiness for God and happiness for others. You know, God needs to be happy and we need to be happy. And Christ produced such happiness. Under the Lord's sovereignty, we, you and I, may be put into situations where we need to sacrifice ourselves to make others happy. You know, a most unhappy life is a life that is lived just to sacrifice oneself. We all know that. We all know that. The most miserable way to live is to live a self-centered life just for me to feel good, just for me to get certain benefits. At the end of the day, you're a miserable, miserable person. The real happy life is a giving life, is a life of sacrifice, a life that makes others joyful, even though you experience pain. In the midst of such a situation that we may find ourselves in, that is, that we need to sacrifice ourselves, we contact the Lord, then we will experience him as the wine-producing vine, as the one who gives cheers to God and to others. It's not about you and I trying to die. You and I, you know, toughening up to be the martyr. Don't do that. It doesn't work. That is not sweet. That's ugly. That stinks. Someone has died already. And that someone is living in us. He's the wine-producing Christ. Let's be one with him. Let's identify with him. Let's share in the fellowship of his suffering. Let's be conformed to his death. It's all his. But we need to exercise our being to be one with him and what's his. Be one with his experience as well. The issue of experiencing Christ as the vine is that in him, with him, and through him, we become a vine that produces something to cheer God and man. Actually, it's not us who's doing the suffering. It is. But it's Christ bearing us, right? Christ carrying us. Christ sustaining us to suffer, to sacrifice. If we contact the Christ typified by the vine and experience his sacrificing life, he will energize us to live a life of sacrifice, producing wine to make others and the Lord happy. Romans 1:12-1, you know, Paul says, I beseech you, right? By the compassions of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. That living sacrifice exists already in this universe. That's Christ, and he's in us, brothers and sisters. He's in our hearts. He's in our spirit. He's still sacrificing. And he wants to live that wine-producing life in us and through us and by us again. But he needs some that will cooperate with him. The more, it says here, in ourselves, we're not able to live the life of sacrifice, for our life is a natural life, a selfish life, If we contact the Lord and experience His sacrifice in life, He will energize and strengthen us to sacrifice for God and for others. The more we experience Christ as the vine with His sacrifice in life, the more we will be energized to sacrifice ourselves to make God and others happy. We will bring happiness to those who contact us, and we will bring cheer to God. Again, the emphasis here, brothers and sisters, is that this is entirely an experience of Christ. The life of suffering is a life of experiencing the suffering one. So join with him. Be one with him. Identify with him. When situations befall you, when adversity comes upon you, when things that are not of your making, but of God's sovereignty are ahead of you, that requires your sacrifice, that requires your dying to yourself, that requires you really to adopt the cross. Dear brothers and sisters, let's experience this Christ. This is real. This is very practical. It could happen in your marriage with your spouse. It could happen with your children. It could happen with your circumstances, on your job. Certainly, it can happen in the church life. Our church life is too much complaint, brothers and sisters, too much murmuring. Paul said so in Philippians. Too much murmuring, too much complaint. Let us think the same thing. Let us experience Christ. He is the one who never murmur. He is the one who never defended, vindicated, justified himself. He took it silently as a lamb's led to the slaughtering house. Can we not live that way? If we do, perhaps life will issue forth. Grace will flow from our being. Others will be cheered by us. My, what a church that will be. What a family and marriage life that will be. A life that flows. A life that is just gushing with water. Even flowing with wine. Not only to quench thirst, but to cheer the sad. Cheer those who are in pain. Cheer those who are in want. As we live a sacrificing life in the body, we minister life to the body. This is a marvelous statement. If nobody, no saint is living this kind of sacrificing life of Christ in the body, there will be no one who can minister life to the body. The body, the church, is short of life today. It's not short of truth, I would even say. It's short of life. And you cannot manufacture life. You cannot fabricate life. Life comes through sacrifice. Life comes through suffering. The body is built up by mutual supply of members. God conveys life to the body through every member. That's the principle. You and I have to be a life-ministering member in the church. But how does that happen? One can supply the body only with what he has received of Christ. The measure of our ministry is determined by the measure of Christ in us. So the only way we can minister Christ is when we have more Christ, when we gain Christ, when the measure of Christ increases in us, then we have more Christ to minister to others. Where there is the cross, brothers and sisters, there is the ministry of life. Another excellent sentence. There is no ministry without suffering. There is no life without death. There's no supply without the cross. So we need the cross, brothers and sisters, and don't be afraid of that. The way to be used to minister life to the body is to let the cross operate in us in the normal course of our life and with the Lord. If we are crossed out, so to speak, if we remain under the shadow of that cross, if we live the crucified life, that means we don't live a life preserving the self, vindicating our position, justifying our opinion. If we do those things, the cross is not operating. And it's all in the normal course of our life. That's why I mentioned marriage. Why are there divorces, Christians? Because there's no cross. Why is there fightings? There's no cross. Why are there jealousies? Because there's no cross. Why is the self so active? Because there's no cross. And no cross, no life, and no ministry. And that's why the church is weak. That's why the church is dead. That's why the church life is not full and rich, because a certain ministry of life is lacking. And that ministry doesn't come just from elders. That ministry should come from each and every one of us, the members of the body. It is the abiding principle of the body that death operates in us, but life in you. 2 Corinthians 4:12. Death operates in us, but life in you. So Paul suffered. The cross was borne by him daily, and death operates in him, in his circumstances, in many ways, physically, psychologically, even spiritually. But when that happens, life was working in the Corinthians. Life is flowing into the Corinthians. Look at the epistles he wrote. Full of life, full of the ministry of Christ, to build up the saints, edify the saints, and to build up the church. Anything that God takes us through by way of the cross spontaneously brings an increased life in the body. You see, if you are not brought through these experiences of death and suffering, there will be no increase of life. But as we experience these things, one at a time, an experience at a time, a day at a time, there will be a spontaneous increase of the measure of life in you and by extension in the body. What we go through in secret with the Lord. You know, I talk about the digging. A lot of these digging are private, secret, just between you and the Lord. these dealings with him, these tough conversations you have with the Lord. What we go through in secret will minister life to the body. You say, whoa, this sounds hocus pocus. Is this magic? No, this is not magic. This is the principle. A church that is wallowing in self-pleasure has no life. A church that is identified with the suffering Christ is filled with life. The body is ministered to be a communication of life, and life is communicated to the body as death operates in us. So as the cross operates, is an action in each of our daily life, this cross that brings the issues in death, the proper kind of death, opens the way for life to be communicated, fellowshipped in a real way, in a wonderful way in the body. So when you come to a church, a situation, a marriage, a family, you see life there, you must conclude that here, somewhere, some way, someone has suffered. Someone has died. Someone has sacrificed. Well, brothers and sisters, I think this is good enough for my speaking on this burden. Are you okay? Did you hear my speaking? And I think a lot to consider, huh? A lot to go to the Lord and pray for. I say again, this is not just to make you and I just quote, quote, more spiritual. No, this is not for personal spirituality. In the end, this is to produce the body. This is for the benefit of the body. But such is the operating principle. Such is the experience that we need regularly, all the time, day by day. I pray that the churches in Northern California will be, and the saints will be, living sacrifices, producing a lot of wine for the sinners, for the unsaved, for seekers, for the saints, brothers and sisters, for the needy ones among us, for the young people. Then the Lord will really have a proper, proper life-giving testimony and wine-producing testimony on the earth.